We just come to say thank you this morning. Oh, for the blood of Jesus that has washed us and cleansed us and having in eternity placed us as sons, positioned in the body of Christ. And we come this morning, Lord, looking for you to continue to elucidate, enlighten us according to your purpose. Father, we pray that you bless and touch my body this morning, that I might minister the word of God, and then bless these lips of clay, and bless us in this hour, as we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. You may be seated. After a short interlude, let us now return to our discoursing and dissertation. Everyone should have a copy of the document, if not, at least an excerpt in the back. We're in volume 2, repeat after me, Scripture Distinctions.
Scriptural Distinctions.
Actualization in eternity,
actualization in eternity.
From manifestation in time. And we had moved into that sector beginning in verse 9, relativism in scripture ontology. Repeat after me, relativism in scripture ontology. We welcome those that are viewing us through the webcast, and we want to inform you that in both our video and audio sectors, there is this document, and when you see the description of it, just left click on it, and out comes hopefully on this document. It should be very helpful in you following us. Let's go to the top of page 11 this morning. And also, more importantly, take out your Bibles. Elder Liberman is our designated reader. There are two basic scriptures we're going to focus on this morning. The first one is in Colossians chapter 1, verse 17, as well as we are going to reprise some things that we said in Hebrews. We were looking at our last outing before you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3. We're going to continue to go over these verses. In them, there's the revelation of what is, according to God's saying and decree of it. This is the only way a thing can exist. Everything comes into existence through God saying it, having said it. It's there. It's been there from eternity. And as we observe and view them, they are revealed for the sake of testimony. Everything touching your life already is. I remember when I was a little boy, they used to sing the song, I believe I'll run on and see what the end's going to be. They're saying, you know, continue to process through these frames, get to the end as to what's there. Which, actually, if you're going to sing according to the scriptures, could say we're going to move on through these frames,
yes,
so that when we get to the end, whatever God has predisposed will be revealed to us. The sons of light and the glory of it, as it is expressed in the 8th chapter of Romans. But what's there in glorified form actually from eternity,
yes,
has existed.
Yes.
So that as we go through the turbulent terrain of time, we always encourage.
That's right. Come on.
And we can truly understand Paul's declaration in his writing as it was revealed to him by God that he who is in us is greater than whatever is in the world.
Hallelujah.
And so we don't walk in fear and trepidation, as Paul writes in another place. We're not terrified by our opponents or whatever is opposing, what seems out there to be opposing.
Hallelujah.
Doesn't terrify us. Colossians chapter 1 read verse 16 and 17. Contextualize it a little bit. Everybody got Colossians chapter 1 verse 16, amen?
Amen.
All right.
Colossians chapter 1, beginning with the 16th verse.
Mm-hmm.
For by him were all things created.
Now we're straightening it out. Keep going.
That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Verse 17.
All right, let's clear that up before because we're going to concentrate on verse 17 for a while. In fact, that's where we hope to go. We call it tetrasynthetic this morning. And that is drawn out of that 17th verse, but there's a little work that we need to do in 16. Read that from the Greek interlineal.
Colossians 1:16 interlineal Greek text. Because in him.
That's where it is. Ypsilon ni, in him, not by him,
amen,
not remotely,
no.
Associated to him as a something that he has done and is just hanging out there. And it may have his attention and it may not have his attention.
I hear you.
Read.
Because in him were created.
Were created. What?
All things in the heavens and on the earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or lordships or rulers or authorities.
He said all things, right? Again, all things. These, read that. Say all things.
All things.
That's here you have the definite article there. It's ta panda, which means all things. All. He just read it. It didn't leave out anything. And another case of Paul was writing, after he named his litany, he said, what?
Any
other in creation. In case I left out anything, throw that in there too.
That's right.
Everybody say all things.
All things.
Where did they come from?
All things through him.
Through him.
And for him.
That's, Brother Deacon, if you got your lexicons there, that would be in the instrumental case there.
Mm-hmm.
By means of. as that ties into the document that we were reading earlier, God's agential origination. And then finally, what?
All things through him and for him.
Stop. For him. So as we move into the 17th verse, we want to take these ingressions with us. Repeat after me. In him. Through him. For him. You see why we'll be coming here each week? It's all about him. Do you see anybody else in And it could be because he's talking about the essence of God's declarations and decree where? In eternity. It's all about him. All right, now we're ready. When we take these ingressions into verse 17. First in the King James.
Verse 17, King James translation.
Everybody got Colossians chapter 1, verse 17. Amen. Read.
And he is before all things, and all things in him consisted.
All right. Read that from the King James.
Colossians 1:17, you mean in the Greek?
King James.
And he is before all things, and by him all things consist.
Okay, this is the way they've got it. Now when you get to the Greek, which you read, and he is before all things. He is prior to. He is before. He is pretext. He is preeminent.
Yes.
Preferred. It's him first and then other things. Because all things originate from him. Remember in the antecedent verse, again, in him what? Through him what? For him. Every time anyone stands up behind this pulpit ministering out of this ministry, it's all about him. We start talking about Jesus, we talk about Jesus all the way through, and when we get through talking about Jesus, what? It's time to go home. Do we mention other things? Yeah. As they are beside him, because in this sector, as we speak of relativism, our focus must be on how all things relate to him. Everything relates to God.
Everything
must be viewed and assessed relative to God.
Everything.
So as we look at this, he is before. Actually, this reads, Ke apto esting pro panda, which means it doesn't have the, what? Doesn't have the definite article, which can be translated, and he is preferred before each and everything. Each and every. Each and everything. God is first. He is the source, the origination, the cause. And wherever that thing is going, it's all about where God's will for it resides. Everything touching your life. Even the more perplexing things is all about what does God have as a reason for it. So we never look at things saying, what is this? But what?
What is this for?
What is it for? Not what I'm going to do with it, but what? What has God purposed of it? That's where it's going. Joseph, pounced upon by his blood brothers and sold into slavery, supposed to get rid of them. Which is where they were going with that.
That's where they were going.
Where had God already purposed that he would end up feeding them?
That's right.
Amen.
Or else they starve.
Yeah. Right.
And life things that look to be negative are really positive. They're negative in our sight, but they're positive in God's purpose. Finish that. And verse 17, the last phrase.
Verse 17.
In the Greek.
In the Greek text.
And
he is before all things, and all things in him consisted.
And all things in him consisted. Now we're going to stop. I'm going to do a little bit of exegesis. Why? Because it's necessary. That's why. Here he has translated this consisted, which we have no qualms with. But you have the Greek word there, synestikon. But Deacon, so that he doesn't have to be trying to multitask, you got it? That's a transitive verb. What is that?
The
perfect tense.
Indicative
mood is a fact, but it's in the perfect. What is the perfect tense?
Completed action.
Ongoing results. It is because it was. It means all things have always resided in him. It speaks of that which is formed, but not only formed, but stabilized. Not only stabilized, but combinated, finalized, in completion. From the beginning, all things were already formed and completed, which makes them stabilized. Everything around you. We look around and with our natural eyes, what do we see? We see chaos, doesn't we?
Yeah.
Don't you see chaos?
Yeah.
You turn on the news and you say, my goodness, what's going to happen next?
Mm-hmm.
And that's not only in your neighborhood, in this country, but all over the world. All over the earth. Not only all over the earth.
Mm-hmm.
All over the universe.
Yeah.
You have these, in many instances, stars that are megatrons compared to the sun, our solar system. And they collide. And the combustion, as we would call it, of the fusion from it that we look at in the nuclear sense,
mm-hmm.
is astronomical.
Right.
Is that confusion or is that organized? So now you have to back that down into your little problem.
Amen.
Something collided. Was it erratic? Or is it organized? Why did that thing happen? Now when we look at things as most of us do in the macrocosm, all we are aware of is what's around me and how it looks to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I will assess this thing according to me. The grace message is telling you, don't go there. It's not according to you. It's not according to me. It's not according to physical processes. It's according to God. Everybody say according to God. I mean, didn't we just read? In Him what? Through Him what? For Him. And then down in 17, it's telling us that thing was and is from the beginning. In other words, where it actually resides is in eternality. And there's nothing in eternality that's out of order. There are no entropies. There's no disorder. In eternality. There is no disorder in God. It's all swallowed up in purpose.
Hallelujah.
Oh, God help us to understand.
Hallelujah.
And this is why we feel so vulnerable. So remote. So alone. We look on earth. And there's pestilence. If pestilence then gives the ecology will. If ecology doesn't get us, famine will. And then extraterrestrial, the astros that are heading toward Earth, and only takes one. One several miles across to hit. And even if it's a smaller one, and it hits, it could cause what they call a nuclear winter. It's almost like we've gone through a nuclear winter. But not really, because the sun is shining. It would block out the rays, block out the light. Now you just sit up at night, think on these things and worry about these things. No. Well, aren't there a greater threat than you being behind with your bills? Yes. So why don't you sit up at night worried about them like you sit up at night worried about your bills? Well, I can't do anything about that. You can't do anything about your bills either. Why do you sit up at night worried about your relations? Because I can do something about that. No, you can't. Why do you sit up all night worried about your health? Maybe we can do something about that. No, you can't. All things means all things. And each and everything means that there isn't anything in there that can be excluded. So why do we become worrywarts? Why do we get trapped into the hows and whys and what I'm going to do, what I'm going to do? Now, someone came to me one time, they wanted me to help them decide what they were going to do. I said, well, first of all, if you want to actually reside in the reality of the word, it's not about what you're going to do. It's all about what God has already done.
I hear you.
And so any exercise that we do in spirituality is going to be to align with what God has already done. So when we pray, the first thing we're going to say is what?
Lord,
your will. Your will. Not mine. Not my agenda, because I don't have an agenda.
Hallelujah.
Oh, we have imaginary itineraries. The agenda is already set. Whatever's in that frame, when you get to it, it's been there and it ain't going nowhere. Didn't we just read this? That verse, Senescling, means what? Form, stabilize, and complete it. It's in the perfect tense. Whatever it was, it is. And it is because it was. In Him. What God has for it. That seems so strange to us. Because what we've been taught is that we're like in partnership with God. And God does His part and we do our part. And it goes back to salvation. Mm-hmm. Whatever you think about salvation, that's what you bring down into life.
Amen.
If you think you participated in your salvation, of course you're going to think you participated in life. But if you take the greater, which is your salvation, and you understand that you had not one thing to do with that, then that's what you can take down in life. Life is not about me. Life is about what God has for me.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah.
And haven't had from eternity. From eternity. From the beginning. Listen to me. Things don't just pop up. Using that vernacular, this week in some of our lives, something is going to, quote, pop up. didn't just pop up.
I hear you. No.
You got to that frame and something was there and it's been there from the beginning, but it's purposed. This is why Paul writes in another place, and it doesn't make sense to some folk, in everything do what? Why? This is the will of God, what? In Christ, what? Concerning. In other words, thank God for whatever He has for you, regardless of how it appears to you.
Amen.
Here, as he writes to these Colossians, he is giving them advice from what he has both received from Jesus Christ in the revelation and has experienced.
Sure.
Here Paul is in jail. But as he spoke about it in Ephesians, and in Philippians, I should say, he said, I'm a prisoner, but now I'm not a prisoner of the Roman government. I'm not a prisoner to my circumstances.
Nope.
Y'all listen to me this morning.
Nope.
I'm a prisoner of Christ.
Right.
I'm a prisoner to his decree.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a most blessed place to be. Oh, give him a praise this morning.
Glory.
Yeah. Hey! Hallelujah! And it goes back to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and we won't spend no time there today. In that third verse, by faith, what? Read that from the Greek. Let's turn it right quick. Something tell me, don't run through this.
Mm-hmm.
And don't go through it too many times.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way you can go through this too many times.
I hear you.
Yeah, read from the Greek for the time's sake. The clock is just, it beats me up.
11:3.
Everybody got Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, amen.
Amen.
Just from the Greek. And follow through if you don't have the Greek in interlinear with your translation. Read.
Hebrews 11, chapter beginning with the third verse in the interlinear Greek text.
Mm-hmm.
By faith we understand.
That's the only way you're going to receive this is through the medium of faith. Which means if you're walking by faith, you're not walking by sight. Read.
By faith we understand two have been adjusted.
Stop. That Greek word is katatiste, which the root of that is the same word that we read earlier. Asiste. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. Were created. I don't know why he got adjusted. When you adjust something, it's going one way and you got to do something else with it. Is that God?
No.
Does God make adjustments?
No.
Kata is what?
According
to. Taste it is creation, except it's in what, Brother Deacon?
Perfect.
Mm-hmm. You notice how both of those are perfect and dictated?
Yep, that's right.
See how it ties together. See how consistent the Word of God is.
Yeah.
Perfect tense is what again?
Complete
So it's raised there, creation according to, or was created according to. According to what? Read.
By faith to understand to have been adjusted.
To be according to creation.
According to creation.
Uh-huh.
The ages by a word.
What?
Of God.
So what he's saying is, creation of the ages was and is by a saying of God. Every time we get shaky about things, and that's all of us, me too, what we're essentially doing is doubting what God has done. And almost in the back of my mind, we don't have nerve to say this. Lord, do you see this? I was coming up an old quartet song. They would say, "Come see about me." Oh Lord, come on into this room. Come by here, Lord. Come by here. While I'm down here praying, Lord, look down upon and see me. Yeah. Hey, Lord, I'm here. It's doubt. No, it's in all of us. It's in all of us. But we're looking at it as doubting what God is doing, and actually what we're doing is doubting what God has done. Didn't we just read in that Colossians there? Translated, consisted, it's actually formed, stabilized, and completed. God placed it there in completed form for his purpose. Now, let's go to the top of page 11. And one of these days, y'all let me preach about 3 or 4 hours so I can... I love those looks. Amen. We're very cognizant of the time. Top of page 11, where it says relativism in scripture ontology. Relativism in scripture ontology focuses on contrasts between human history's struggles with taxing issues and complexities that are instantly contradicted by secular actions. So here, as we said, relativism is relating to God. How do we do this? We look at existence, which is ontology, through the scriptures. And what it focuses on are the taxing issues and complexities around us. We're doing one thing and something else is happening. In fact, we're doing something and the opposite is happening. And it's confusing. Except it is confusing because we're looking at it with our eyes instead of our faith. Although secularity is void of scripturally notary value, it is in practice perfectly content with extolling its hierarchies of the factual superiority. Contentions vacillate between what they tenably or reasonably or plausibly, as we see, value in materialized appraisal and rebuff of what is specifically viewed in creationism. This type of pragmatism is, in point of fact, subjective relativism. Everybody says subjective relativism. That's what we pick up in our little macrocosm. Looks like that thing's going to kill me. You all know what I'm talking about. As far as I can see, that's the end of me. That's when we assess things based upon ourselves. What is it about subjective relativism that gets us in trouble? That is, with his strategy of ultimately construing that a thing is better if it works. What works? According to what gauge it works? According to luck? Or even chance? Or even what is incidental? What works? Only thing that works is that which is complete, and the only thing that is complete is what God has completed.
Amen.
Follow this now. In this flawed view, a thing works indeed as it induces what the majority wants or thinks. Yet why do so many want what is merely mirrored rather than actualized? Why are we looking in the matrix? And we're seeing that as the end, our culmination, our end product. When it is only, like everything else in the matrix, what? A reflection of what is. Why don't we actually go to the end, the essence of eternality, where the thing is? Understanding that that's where it is, that's where it resides. In the matrix, it may seem to be one thing. That's the limitation of it. In life, there are limitations. And they're all in testimonies.
Amen.
Reflections. In a mirror. Do you all know that the matrix has limitations? Why are we going to the actualized essence and version of it? Why is it that we get so caught up with what we're doing and nobody's thinking about what God has done? It's not about what I do or you do or what we can or cannot do. It's about what God has already done.
Amen.
How much and how many times are we going to read this? Well, the Holy Spirit comes in and he causes us to internalize this. And sometimes, and I know myself, I get caught up in something, then the Word of God comes and rescues me.
I hear you.
And what's the message? Relax.
Yes. That's right.
It's almost like we don't think God knows what he's doing. In our relations, in our possessions, in our health situations, it wasn't supposed to happen that way, says me. That's what I envision. Because I have an imaginary artillery. What it is what it is in God's agenda.
Uh-huh.
And the end product is what is actualized in eternality.
Uh-huh.
According to his purpose.
Amen. Amen.
And I said to you, as the Word of God, it does not work against me.
No. No. No.
Nothing in, I said this and I see that my time is basically gone. Nothing in eternality works against you.
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing.
Yes. Nothing in God's completed, actualized effort works against you. Problem is, we get all caught up in our microcosm. Mm-hmm. Whatever is what is now. Mm-hmm. Whatever my situation is about now. Mm-hmm. It's like we want to make this sphere mm-hmm. eternality.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Now, I'll tell you, the more I learn, I don't.
Hallelujah.
Can you imagine? I've talked about myself because that way I'll get in trouble. This body being eternal, that means eternal aches, eternal pain. Eternal depravity. No, you don't. No, you don't. No, you do not. There's no comparison with where you are eternally. Where are you eternally?
In
Christ. Some position.
Yes.
Before the foundation. The creation. And you know what? You've never left him. Your conscience is encapsulated into the sphere of time and your flesh and what you're going through experience-wise, which are nothing but testimonies in contrast to what is for better. For better. So now we talk about what is better. What is better? What God has completed.
Amen.
What God has actualized. Guess I just finished this sentence and then we stop for the day. These are false delusions. And that's all life is around us. They're delusions. Postpone valid consideration of what is true. In the sense of what is actualized rather than interpreted as good, desirable, worthy, beneficial, commendable, praiseworthy. Every other accolade you put on it. Laudable, admirable, valuable, precious, credible, etc. All delusions. What is life? Life is Christ. Where am I? In Christ. Where am I situated in a position? In Christ. Who am I? A member of his body. Then what am I doing here? Testimony. That in the end, who we are in Christ is far better mm-hmm. and will have had the experience to be able to compare it.
Yes, Lord.
But oh, wouldn't it be great to know
uh-huh.
now?
Now.
Have some comprehension now.
Glory to Jesus.
Some of God's people are going to transition from this body. Wake up in the arms of Jesus and finally appreciate him for who he is and what, he's done, what he has done. Because most of us assess him based upon what's going on now, what's happening now, where I am now, what I'm doing now, what's being done to me now. And large sharing of the ministry is about now. And you know what? You're some kind of oddball. If you stand up here and you start talking about eternality. You ever got around some of your friends that maybe not a part of this ministry. And I'm saying that others don't have this knowledge now. Somebody run out here and say that. But around people who have not been exposed to eternal teaching, and really be started talking about eternal things. No, most of us don't, because we don't quite think we're crazy. Start talking about things in terms of their completeness in Christ. No, because that's not the quote the way we talk. Even the languages aren't designed that way. You go into the Greek in this language, and the rule is, aside from it being a fact, the aorist tense is ineffectual, has no meaning. In fact, the rule is, speaks of the kind of action, not the time of the action. Because we can't talk about a completed probability. Can we? Not if you're just speaking the language to someone. Or you speak about a completed command, imperative. Mood. A completed command? A completed probability? What are you talking about? Man, this thing is happening now. No, it's not. It's complete.
Uh-oh,
my friend need a rest. They're talking about you now.
Yet
we go to another place in Colossians and say, and you are complete what?
In
Him.
Glory.
How can you be complete in Him? Because that's where everything dwells. Completed. In Him. And so now our focus is on Him. Our trust is in Him. This is why the scripture speaks of hope in Him. It's talking to us, but we're not listening. It says that He even subjected everything that we see in the matrix, in representation, in worthlessness. As you look at it, what you see is worthless because it does not have a mind of itself, or in the determination of itself. But He didn't just subject. He subjected in hope. But here's what we can understand. When we say hope, we're not talking about down here.
No.
We're not talking about in the matrix. The only hope you have is an eternal hope. Now, just ignore what's going on now and just wait till the Lord. No, you don't have to wait. The essence is, look at it what it is in its completion, based upon the fact that you trust what God has finalized of it.
Hallelujah.
Why are you looking at it? If I'm broke, I need some money. Not if that's not what God has finalized of it.
Amen.
If I'm sick, I need healing. Not if that's not what God has finalized of it.
That's right. That's right. Oh.
What you need is an eternal comprehension of viewing and trusting what God has done.
Yeah.
Our time is up. Give him a praise. Give him a praise.